translation. Vasudeva's mind was full of anxiety because his wife was facing danger. But in order to please the cruel, shameless, and sinful Kamsa, he externally smiled and spoke to him as follows. Purport. Sometime one must act dupliciously in a dangerous position, as Vasudeva did to save his wife. The material world is complicated, and to execute one's duties, one cannot avoid adopting such diplomacy. Vasudeva did everything possible to save his wife for the sake of begetting Krishna. This indicates that one may act dupliciously for the purpose of saving Krishna and his interests. According to the arrangement already foretold, Krishna was to appear through Vasudeva and Devaki to kill Kamsa. Vasudeva therefore had to do everything to save the situation. Although all the events were prearranged by Krishna, devotee must try his best to serve the purpose of Krishna. Krishna himself is all powerful, but it is not that a devotee should therefore sit idly and leave everything to him. This instruction is also found in Bhagavad Gita. Although Krishna was doing everything for Arjuna, Arjuna never sat down idly as non-violent gentleman. Rather, he tried his best to fight the battle and be victorious. Om Agyana Timirandasya Agyana Jana Shalakaya Chakshun Minul Tamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namun Shubra Krishna Prashtabdale Shimad Bhakti Vedanta Swamti Mine Namaste Sarasata Devi Gauravani Pracharinam Shashumi Pachyate Shresharine Vancha Kalpa Turgashya Kitrasuntaya Chavadidanam Paneva Ishnamanamu Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadra Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, it was very hectic last few days. I didn't have much time to prepare, actually. I just read verse a few times and then I put some notes, which are pretty much in disorder, so I tried to make sense of it. Okay. So after so many years, we have arrived to this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't know how many years it takes to go all through 10. Do you remember? 15 years or something. I think when I arrived here, I don't remember, it was 2nd canto, I think. This was like 18 years ago or something. Maybe I'm wrong. You know. So that's... Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and then, so 10th canto considered to be like a crown of all Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam. And this 10th canto particular is dealing with the jewel on this crown, which is Lord Sri Krishna, which is object of all our activities, main focus, main goal of life. So it's not so easy to speak about, but he said that once he realizes Krishna, at least in sufficient degree, then he realizes that he was wasting so much time performing austerities, learning. He just realizes Krishna. When he lightens up our dark lives, then we realize that it's Krishna. Like Madhavendra Puri used to say, "Oh my bhajans three times a day, or penances or whatever it is, charities, you know." Now I just can simply sit down and think of Sanu Maharaj Nanda. It's so simple, but we have to go through to be engaged. You cannot sit idly, prematurely. So that's a final realization. So there's a 10th canto. We are supposed to be self-realized when you come to 10th canto. I don't know about you, but I'm not definitely self-realized. Maybe some of you who went through all 10 cantos, like Vishwambhara is every single day here. He's addicted to Srimad Bhagavatam. And he knows how to present as well. So, So let's just be something like introduction that in the beginning here, Srila Prabhupada, I remember, then there is another verse which Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the words of Dadichi Muni from sixth canto, when he is supposed to give his body to make thunderbolt weapon to kill Ritasura. And then Dadichi Muni, you know, he was hesitant at the beginning, kind of picking jokes with the demigods. And then on that verse in purport, Prabhupada elaborates verse from some Vedas. Atmanam saraturakshe tato dharmam tato dhanam. Atmanam virkati sati tato kutam tato dharmam. He said that Prabhupada said this Atma, this first Atmanam saraturakshet, that means one must protect his body by all means. There's a first duty. And then he may protect his dharma or religious principles. And a third thing is his dana, wealth. So taking this in account, was comes a right actually to protect his body? Question for you. In one sense, he was danger, life danger. So in one sense, was he right? In one small sense, depends on angle of vision. Yes, you know, but only point is that he was a demon. So what made him? What makes him actually a demon? Anyone just send throw anything? Why make? What is that quality yet that he makes him such a demoniac person? Yeah, this one slight thing. Yeah, there's another one also. He was Krishna conscious very much more than I. He was, again, we come to the same. Why was he? Atheism, there's another included. Prabhupada gave a very simple line. Anyone, just came simple. What devotees always wants? Devotees always wants to please Krishna, but demons always want to what? Remove Krishna from their life or kill Krishna. So that's kind of one gross main why he was a demon. You know, they want to kill Krishna. But another thing, because he was demoniac, there is many ways to protect his body, actually, our bodies. There are many different ways of protection. But what demons do is, what is first thing? To crush down at the very beginning, very source of their danger, destroy. That's a demoniac quality. You see, he was a kshatriya, definitely. And Vasudeva was a kshatriya as well. But what are qualities of kshatriya? Their resourcefulness, so I have some few notes. Like resourcefulness, protection, chivalry in a battle, many different things, you know. Heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership are the natural qualities of work for the kshatriyas. So, Haddi Kamsa, those qualities, yeah, he had them, but in a little bit different way. Like heroism, he was definitely heroic. No demigod or anyone could stand on his way. He was powerful. He would crush anyone. See, determination, wow, he was so determined to kill Krishna. Resourcefulness, I'm not exactly sure what resourcefulness would mean, like innovativeness or creativity, is it? Resourcefulness. Yeah. So he was very creative in that sense. He thinks so many ways, try to kill Krishna, send this, try. See? Courage in the battle, he was definitely courageous. I don't know about generosity, but I presume he was a good ruler also, although he was in one sense cool, like who is named Duryodhana. He was very good king, but he was a demon. See, leadership, yeah, he was a one man, top man. Anyway. So all these qualities, kshatriya is passionate about. So it's one thing, just side point. Like if you read all this from Bhagavad Gita, all these qualities of different varnas, things which you are very passionate about. It's a very strong sign of your varna. All these qualities for brahmanas, for kshatriya, you know. Like kshatriya, we just listed brahmana, teaching others. Always do some yagya, worshipping, you know, simplicity. And then vaishya, always gain some wealth, make some profit on the land, on the cows. He's passionate about. And then shudra, he's not passionate about anything. He just laments, I guess. Yeah. That's when the, you know. But anyway, you can kind of study this and you are really passionate about something. You can kind of trace your varna in some degree at least. Anyway. But Kamsa was ruling by fear. He was instilling fear in others. So, and any sane man would desire his destruction. But at the same time, was no one really to destroy him. You know, he was so powerful. Who would do this? You know, so only Krishna could do. And I was just wondering, where Kamsa gained so much power? I was just thinking by reading this. Where did he gain so much power? He was more powerful than even his, like Shishupal, his incarnation of Hiranyakashipu. But Shishupal was kind of, at least in our Srimad Bhagavatam, kind of small demon, just always angry, hating Krishna. Yeah. But Kamsa was more powerful, although Kamsa was, I mean, Shishupal in previous life was father of Kamsa in this life. But still he kind of regained more power. And then, interesting how much power he has, very from. You know, that's kind of thing too. Because there must be some curse. It's interesting that, like, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of curses and counter-curses. There's some benedictions, but more one brahmana curses this one. And it's, all events happen, all pastimes out of it. Like previous canto, ninth canto, we had so many pastimes. Curse, and it's interesting. It looks like those brahmanas were very, very extremely agitated persons. So you are fortunate that curse doesn't work anymore in Kali Yuga, otherwise we would devastate the planet or something. You know? I mean, like, if Brahmana is pure, his curse and benediction both work in the same way. But in previous, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of those heavy curses, you know. So anyway, interesting regarding to that, that actually Kamsa, he was not son of Ugrasena. This is a Gandharva, I don't know his name, something. He raped his mother, and out of product of this was Kamsa was born. And then his mother actually cursed him. You're going to die from the hand of somebody from your family. So this was one curse, you know, which Narada told him actually when he was visiting him. So there's one curse, and then omen from the sky. 8 son of Devaki gonna kill is another one. This is amazing. It's like, I can imagine such a situation, like somebody tells you, you're gonna die or something terrible, terrible happen to you, but you cannot avoid. How much in fear you would be, you would just try to be clever and, okay, I'm gonna do this and try to, this is exactly what Kamsa was doing through all his life. Somehow if I do this movement, this I may avoid. It's heavy upon you, you know. Just day and night he was, you know, thinking of, and especially it's very funny actually, on the end, just before he died last week or so, when he would look in the mirror, he would see some strange things, and it was very funny. He was afraid, you know, and then bad omens everywhere. And then he said he would see himself walking naked with smeared with oil or something. It's a funny description. He was just obsessed with it. You know, but when Narada told him about that curse, he was not so much surprised, actually. Inside of himself, he knew he's going to die. So let's go on a verse. We are kind of sidetracked. We have some time, okay? That's a verse. So, I mean, there's not many points in this verse, really. You know, we kind of struggle to find something, you know. But the main thing is diplomacy. So that's a kind of when is used, when is not used. See, so I'd say before that Vasudeva was a Kshatriya as well, Kamsa was a Kshatriya as well, but Kamsa went for the lowest wave of protection, while Vasudeva employed diplomacy, which is allowed for Kshatriyas. At least it's only one varna where diplomacy politics is allowed. That's a Kamsa, Kshatriyas. So Vasudeva tried to pacify him. First he was glorifying him, you know, tried to kind of calm him down. I don't know, did you ever been in a situation to calm somebody who is very, very angry, agitated, and said, I'm powerful, can harm you, and there is no way. Whatever you say or do, you're going to aggravate even more. Maybe somebody of you been in that situation. I've been, just make your mouth shut, because whatever you do, it just goes opposite, whatever you try, unless you are like powerful with Kshatriya nature, you can oppose this, and then, you know, you're confident, and then, but generally, it's very, you know, it's a tricky job. Anyway, so I lost a little bit. Vasudeva was trying to employ diplomacy. First, he kind of glorified him, and then he tried to instill some fear in Kamsa, like your reputation will go down, how you can kill innocent, you know, sister. And you know, actually, this was not his direct sister also. She was the daughter of his uncle, which is Ugrasena's brother, but his sister in that sense. So, and then he tried to remind him of his great lineage, and finally said, if you do this, still it cause like friction and war, and many, many people will die. So somehow he restrained there. You know, but then this didn't work much until he tried to pacify by offering all kids. So interesting. When diplomacy is allowed, Prabhupada gives some like words from Shukracharya talking to Bali Maharaj. He said, in flattering a woman to bring her under control, in joking, in marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood, when one's life is in danger, this was the case now, in protecting cows and Brahmanical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. So those are cases which you can apply diplomacy, you know, to the best, you know. We have to be qualified how to. I mean, in our case, Prabhupada also mentioned that he said even today the preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement cultivate important people with all kindness and diplomacy so that such wealthy or influential people will engage their resources in devotional service of Krishna to glorify Krishna all over the world. So that's diplomacy which we can employ to bring people somehow to Krishna, you know, like I bow down to destroy my teeth. You know, you are so learned, you are so in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, but please forget all your knowledge. This happens when you gain his favor. Then you can say, okay, now abandon all what you have, surrender to Krishna. So at the beginning, fluttering is there. The Prabhupada said, conclusion is that diplomacy used for the service of the Lord is a form of devotional service. So you can do this for Krishna. But if you put yourself in the center, it's not going to work. You'll make things worse, probably. You may gain some influence or something, but it will bounce against your head one day. So that's it. And then in a last third of the day, like all of things are arranged by Krishna. It's interesting there. Like he's foretold, and then he got cursed, comes and knew he's going to die, and then omen from the sky, you're going to die. But still Vasudeva tried to kind of act as an instrument again to help Krishna come. What's verse in, I think it's 11th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, younger devotees, where Krishna calls Arjuna, Savyad, Sachi, Pravin, your practice, you know. He said, all this soldiers are already destroyed on the battlefield. They're already dead, killed. But you, O Savya Sachin, you be the instrument. That means it's kind of contradictory, isn't it? They're already killed, but you kill them. You know, so how is that? Or Prabhupada used to say, this Hare Krishna movement, Lord Chaitanya predicts, will be spread all over the world. But you do it. So it's kind of, we can set up you lazy. Why should I do it? You know, it's not so easy to preach. Especially as time passing on, you know, it's hard, it's graining, you know. It's tough. But why should I do? So it's an interesting thing. So it will happen if you don't do. It will happen. But how is that then? It will happen, but any kind of, just any thought. Somebody else, somebody else will do, who will do? Point is to, you see, when Krishna gives prediction, when acharyas give predictions, whatever, Krishna doesn't set up the timing. That's one thing. Doesn't set up the time. It's like when things are ripe, it fructifies. So Krishna, there's no time in spiritual world. Krishna can wait. It's up to you, you know. Like in astrology, when certain alignment is there, constellation, then it's going to happen, something will happen. So in the same way, it's going to happen, but we can help to speed up the process. That's the thing. So we may decide to rotten this material world for a long, long time, or do our best to speed up. The same like Narada. He speed up the process. Maybe, but anyway, this was his attempt. When Kamsa released Vasudeva and Devaki, he came back straight away. Oh, Kamsa, you fool, don't give them a chance. Kill them immediately. Any one of them can kill you, anyone. It's kind of, when I read this first time, I thought, you're setting up demons or we're just teasing the Kamsa or something like that. But then he said, besides some minor points, that he wants to aggravate appearance of Krishna as soon as possible. So that's the thing. So we take part in the preaching movement to make things go faster. You know, we're not going to rotten here for long. You know, be instrument. This is how. So then second point is, why we doing? Is simply for our purification. It's interesting, he had some talk a few months ago with one devotee, we were just discussing. Some points came out, I was just, you know, Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Vaidavana. That we see that like preaching result is not so great. I mean, as we would want somehow. A few people join, millions of books going, so, you know. Of course, if we stop, no one would join or whatever. But the point came that it's just for our purification, that's all. So when Krishna says, actually I read something, I wrote down in my notebook. This was like product of that conversation. And it's kind of inspiring and pretty pacifying. Said, in the process of Krishna consciousness, the primary item is our own purification. It is like to be squeezed through dense mesh wire. It's like a water filter, like in Yashramiam, this reverse osmosis filter. First gross water, tap water, goes through one filter and is pushed by pressure to the second filter, third filter. And first filter is always, after a few months, it's just full of gunk. I couldn't believe. I'm changing the filters regularly. When you open first one, oh, so much. You put brilliant white filter. After a few months, five or so, it's all yellow, rusty, and so much stuff inside. I don't know what it is, like small particles. I don't know what it is, toilet paper or something. I don't know. And I was thinking, God, if you drink tap water, all this finishes in your body, you know. So you have to filter your water. And then the second filter removes all heavy metals and then pesticides. And then third filter finally removes worse toxicant in the water, which is chlorine, fluoride, and you get pure water. So this is how we have to go through. Process Yajna for this age is Sankirtan in all his features. So to be purified and be eligible, qualified for spiritual world. I'll just continue. So the secondary item or the byproduct of our practice is to bring others to Krishna consciousness. And they will also come in the category of primary item. That means to share Krishna consciousness with others, others take up the process, they call the same process of purification. And so purification is the main thing. Krishna wants us, or he wants our pure heart. He has everything else within creation, but our heart. So Krishna consciousness is the process of self-realization. The self means an individual, us, not others, even without being able to bring others to Krishna consciousness. But just by our sincere attempts to do so is enough. But as we are trying, our purity simultaneously affects others. Prabhupada said purity is force. Yeah? I mean, I don't know, it's a Prabhupada words, there's a few, you know, purity is a force, books are the basics, utility is a principle. Somebody I suggested to Prabhupada, which he accepted, or it's his word, I'm not sure. And so, but individual purification is the primary goal. This attempt to undergo purification by trying to preach, to please Krishna, satisfy Krishna, who also gives us the spiritual joy and keeps us in process. And in that period, somebody said in class here, giving the books out is the joy embracing the Lord Chaitanya. It's one of the form of Sankirtan. So it's kind of interesting. It's our purification. So that's how we get elevated. So with this process, success or not success, Bhaktisiddhanta said you can preach to the walls. Your purification is there. So again, come to purity of the heart. So our effect of preaching will be in the degree our heart is pure. So by doing, we get purified. See, we can maybe impress somebody with an intellectual jugglery or charisma, whatever we have, whatever qualities you have, or your opulence you have. And initially, can be interested in. But to really bring them to the point to become devotees is only this purity of a heart at work, you know. In the degree we are pure. And Prabhupada said, you know, one's advancement is also measured how many devotees you can make. Prabhupada meant thousands, millions, zillions. This will come. But these books, this is Prabhupada, so he's still making devotees, you know. So that's a thing. So purity of heart, this will do only. So that's the kind of main points and difficulty of preaching. You know, why it's so difficult to preach? People are pretty messed up in their heads nowadays. It's full of dirt. Mind's full of dirt. Too much advertisement of promised happiness through entertainment, or whatever it is, microwaves, radio waves, whatever it is, just so many influences. Kali is, it's all agents of Kali, it's predicted, so it's very difficult to preach, but as we try and try, we get purified, and then there's a Shakti gain there, we get Shakti through, and then our purity affects others. That's, I think, all for now. We have 10 minutes. You can speak something. I would ask something. I kind of finished. Not much in purport. I exhausted my resources. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. All glory to Prabhupada. Anyone has not something to say?